We love you, Lord. Those words seem hollow somehow. They cannot express our gratefulness for all that you have done and are doing in our lives. But yet, it is the greatest thing we know. And so we say to you, Lord, we love you. We love you, Lord. Father, we love you. Lord Jesus, we love you. Holy Spirit, we love you and we treasure you and we need you. We thank you, Father, for all that you have done for us and are doing. We give you praise and honor for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Well, why don't you high five about four or five more folks? Let them know you're glad that they're here tonight. Amen. Hey, glory to God. Thank you, Dan, and all the worship team. Praise the Lord. Don't we have some wonderful, wonderful leaders of worship around here? It's just, yeah, go ahead and give them a big hand. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. They do such a wonderful job in leading us into the presence of the Lord. And hallelujah. It's great to be at Rhema Bible Church on a Sunday night. All of you that survived snowpocalypse. Lord. For those of us that are from maybe the northern, a little bit northern climate. This is embarrassing. You know, when I was 16 years old, you know, yes, we had cars back then. When I was 16 years old and I went to take my driver's test, I have a January birthday, so there was a foot of snow on the ground in Springfield, Illinois. And I had my mom's paneled station wagon. Okay. 1977 there. I was cruising. And went up there and took that test, and that big old thing, it would just plow right through the snow. Rear-wheel drive. Not front-wheel like a lot of cars are today. Man, you used to have fun in those things. You could take it and hit it and spin that thing, do 360s down the road for fun. That's how we grew up doing that. But so anyway, I know when we moved to Kentucky in 1993 for... to go be part of the church family worship center there in Carrollton, Kentucky. And Pastor Pat and Brooke Butcher were moved down there, and I'll never forget they started forecasting bad weather. You know, it might snow. That's the first time I'd ever experienced the 10% chance of snow, 90% chance of not having bread or milk at the store. I mean, just on the forecast, I mean, they emptied that place out. And we had two grocery stores, you know. Still had a Kroger and an IGA there. No Walmart. Had to drive 15 miles for Walmart and cross the Ohio River to get to Walmart. But praise the Lord. And but anyway, I could get a kick out of it. It's nice to see a little white stuff every once in a while, but I understand. Some of you, I know Johnny, you work department of here in for the city, and It's interesting whenever it does snow around here. I will say the first winter we were in Carrollton, 1994, they got how many was it? 20. It was like 24 inches of snow in a 24. It shut down the interstates. The semi trucks ran out of gas, stuck out there, and it was people didn't know what to do with that. I mean, that was a lot of snow for us. I know even, but. Monday morning after church, that happened on Sunday afternoon. It did all that. Monday morning, I was driving up to the bank where we had to go up to New Liberty up there to take the receipts, you know, the church offerings up there. And I got up there and said, "What in the world are you doing here?" They all just live right there and just came. I said, "I'm from, I don't know, this is just snow. What's wrong here?" But anyway, praise the Lord. Now I am officially a wimp. I have to bundle up. I can't wear my t-shirts outside anymore like I used to. I'm just, you know, it's too cold. So y'all pray for me. Praise the Lord. Hey, if you got your Bible, let's open up to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I want to look at something tonight. And I don't know, I guess if I want to be fancy, I could call it the potentiality of the Word of God. But I want to look at something tonight concerning the Word of God. And watching for this phrase, that it is able. It is able. Now, whenever you say something is able to do something, you're speaking of potential. Now, I don't know about you, potential can be a great blessing in people's lives. It also can be, you know, a great, if it's, you know, for some people, can be a great hindrance. I know in the athletic realm, to say someone has potential, that could be something good. But if they don't ever, quote unquote, fulfill their potential or realize their potential, then that is something that's used as a negative with them. But when we understand that when God says something is able to do it, that means that he has provided already ahead of time what is needed to bring to pass whatever is said. It is able. But what do we know about our relationship with God? And I don't want to break it down and necessarily say, because it is a relationship. It's not a business. We're not doing business with God. We are his children. We're the sons and daughters of God. But with God, how do we partake of what God has said is able to happen? Well, it's through the avenue of faith, right? It's through faith receives what God has already done. Faith receives what grace has provided. Thank God for grace. Grace is provided for us. Faith reaches out and receives it. But I want us to look here at some things. And first of all, we'll start in 2 Timothy chapter 3. I was reading this the other day for my own personal, just reading through some scriptures. And I actually saw something I hadn't seen before, which that's not amazing. But, you know, sometimes we read over verses and over verses. And if we're not careful, we want to get in a hurry. And in this section, I always like to get to verse 16, you know. But let's start in verse 14 of 2 Timothy chapter 3. But continue thou in the things which you have learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them. And that from a child you have known the holy scriptures. Now stop right there for a moment. What scriptures would it be that, excuse me, Timothy could have known? Couldn't be anything from Matthew on, could it? In fact, at this time, many not even written. So he's talking about the Old Testament scriptures. Is that right? The Old Testament. And be careful now, just because we're in the New Covenant, don't throw the old out, but realize that the new is the fulfillment of the old. But the old is there for our admonition. It's there to help us. And so we don't throw the Old Testament out. All scripture, glory to God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. A few years ago, we had a student that was bragging about how he'd never read the Old Testament. You know, I hope he's still not bragging, because that's ignorance gone to seed right there. You're going to miss a lot if you don't read, right? He says, from a holy child you have known the holy scriptures. Now notice this. Which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Excuse me. All scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man, the woman of God, may be perfect or complete or whole, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. All scripture inspired by God. Now notice, it is able, verse 15, the scriptures, they are able to make us wise or to give us wisdom and the understanding that we need unto salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, or through faith in Christ. Now, salvation there. What do we know about that word salvation? The original language of the Greek text gives us the word that we get an English word from it. That we've applied the English alphabet to the Greek alphabet. And we get the word soteria. All right? It means salvation. Soteria, or the word saved and the word salvation, that's the, as Barclay says, it's the all-inclusive word of the gospel. Drawing together all the redemptive acts. In other words, everything that God accomplished through Jesus in his death, his burial, and his resurrection is summed up in the word salvation. So he said, the scripture is able to make us wise concerning salvation. Concerning, and it also, just by definition, it means, of course, salvation, to be saved. But it also means to be kept safe. It means to be delivered. It also means to be healed. It also means to be preserved, protected. You know, if you were saved, if you were a shipwreck and you got saved out of the ocean, how many of you know that you just weren't saved at that moment? You were saved from any predator that might have come along that way later on as you floated. You were saved from, you know, possibly not making it, no one finding you. You're going to, you know, dehydrate out there in that salt water. You were not just saved from that moment. You were saved future tense also for whatever was going to happen. Glory to God. How many of you know we're not only saved now, but how many of you are glad we're saved from eternity in hell? Right? We're saved. We've been preserved. But we're healed, making us wise. The scripture is able to give us the wisdom to make us wise unto salvation. See, wisdom knows how to apply knowledge. Knowledge, the Bible says, puffs down. We need knowledge. My people have gone and are perished by a lack of knowledge, the Bible says. But how many of you know, you can know something, but if you don't know how to apply it, it's hard. You think about, just think about any type of game you could think about. Think about anything in athletics or even just a board game. You might know the rules, but how many of you know you don't really know how to play the game until you've played the game a few times, right? And so that wisdom here, in talking about this scriptures give us the wisdom. They're able to make us wise unto salvation. Someone said this here, and I liked it. It's not only knowing the will of God, it's knowing the how of God. How is God going to do it? How does God operate in these things? Look over Romans chapter 1 with me. I have some scriptures here, and then we have not only do we have great praise and worship teams here around here, we have great media folks that if you don't give them a scripture, they'll find it real quick and put it up for you. Now, some of these first ones I have, but then there's some others here I'm probably going to get to that I didn't put up for them, so they'll have to. I think it's Daniel up there. He'll have to scramble a little bit for me. Romans 1, look at verse 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. What is that gospel? The word, the message, the word of God. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Notice here, it's not said here, but it's applied. It is implied, rather, that the gospel contains the power of God unto salvation, but it's not activated unless you do what? Believe. And notice here that the Jew and the Gentile both have to believe. Verse 17, excuse me. For therein, in the gospel, in the word of God, if you will, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The power of God. It is the power of God unto salvation. There's that word again. Well, we need to be wise unto salvation. We need to know what that includes. It's not just being born again. Thank God for that. Thank God we're born again. Thank God we are now the children of God. We're adopted into the family of God as his sons, legally as his sons, but we understand sons and daughters if we look at it from our standpoint. But in Christ, there's neither male nor female. So that's why it uses that term, in Christ. There's no sin. You don't need a gender in Christ. You just need to be in Christ. Okay? And in him, all right? But in him, we have that salvation. Now, what does that mean? It means more than just I get to go to heaven. It means I've got God's very life and nature on the inside of me. Amen? You've got God's life in you. His nature on the inside of you. We've got that. We've got the healing power of God in us. We have the resurrection power of God in us. I love so much what in Ephesians chapter 3 says, now unto, in verse 20 says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in God, in us. Now it's God's power, but where is it working? In us. In. So much, you know, we've gotten, you know, in our thinking so much that we're trying to pray the power down. We're trying to get the Holy Spirit to come down, come in our midst, do all this, when all the while he's already in us. Now I understand what we're saying. There are manifestations of God's presence, where as Pastor Marvin said, where God's presence is imminent. In other words, it's here and it's tangible. But yet we walk around with God on the inside of us all the time. And he is able. Amen. Do you know there's never a situation that you will encounter as a child of God where you don't have the answer? It's already in you. Amen. And you don't have the... Is there anything impossible with God? No. Nothing is impossible with him, right? Amen. Nothing. All things are possible with God. There's not a thing that's impossible. And he's in us. But what did Jesus say? All things are possible to him that believes. So I have to have active faith and trust in what the word says in order for it to take that ability and make it reality. A lot of things have ability. A lot of things are able. A lot of things have potential. But potential will not affect you until it's brought into right now. You know, I go back and I look at things that I've experienced in life and implying some of these principles to them. I was blessed, you know, to grow up to be able to play athletics fairly well. I mean, baseball wise was had D1 offers, scholarship offers to play baseball, had professional teams that scouted me. But, you know, I loved basketball. Now, you know, Kyler Murray here, now, you know, he's just from Oklahoma. He loved baseball. He loved football more, so he's going to play football. But he can. You know, like I said, basketball, I was short, but I made up for being slow. So, you know, I wasn't going to go too far playing basketball, but boy, did I love basketball. And I put a lot of effort into it. Baseball was always kind of more natural to me. I mean, I could play, I could throw the ball, I could hit it, I could, you know, of course I wasn't fast, but, you know, I had to, I could make up for things in other ways. But I would see over the years, you know, and I got to participate. I played against guys that are in the NBA. I played against guys that are, you know, Olympic gold medalists. I played with guys and done things and been able to be involved with people. And I saw some great talent, all right? And I saw guys that had potential that turned it into reality. Now, there's a lot of things involved. It's not just, but you know, one of the greatest things that it takes to turn potential into reality is to make proper decisions and to make good decisions that are not, you know, a lot of times are not so spontaneous. It takes time. You understand what I mean when I say, all right, so I played with, you know, probably the most famous person I ever played basketball with was a man by the name of JoJo White, 1968 Olympic gold medalist, played for the University of Kansas, was a finals MVP for the Boston Celtics when they won a world championship, played for many years there. When JoJo was a sophomore in high school, he got cut from his basketball team in St. Louis, Missouri, but he kept at it, work. He turned his potential into reality. All right? He was a great player. The greatest basketball players and athletes I ever saw on the court at one time was in Jacksonville, Illinois. This was after I graduated from Raymond. Jacksonville, Illinois is where I had actually gone to college and played at Illinois College there. But we weren't at Illinois College. this day. We were playing. A bunch of us had gone in there as a kind of a fellowship of Christian athletes team. It was at the medium security prison in Jacksonville, Illinois. And I saw the most incredible athletes and basketball players I had ever seen in my life. Every one of them with potential. Every one of them with ability. But because of probably in almost every case wrong decisions, that ability that they had was never turned into reality because of whatever. All right? And we had a great time in there with, you know, it was so funny. When we walked in, a lot of the other of their fellow inmates were there in the gym, you know. And as soon as we walked in, they all started, man, I need more points. I mean, there was betting going on. And they saw us and they're like, you know, because they'd heard. Well, we played them. These NBA All-Star games are now. There was no defense. Okay. But they beat us by less than 10 points. And it was like the final score was 160 something to 150 something. They just over like 162, 156 or 54. Is that close? I mean, we went up and down the floor and just had a big old time. I mean, when the game's over, they're hugging us, you know. Guys are running on the floor because they'd made whatever, I don't know what kind of bet they won, but they won because we covered. You know, they're just thrilled. You know, they're almost ready to carry us out of the gym on their shoulders. But that potential, that struck me. Here was these young men. They had so much more ability than most of the people that the level of basketball that had ever even thought about having. But yet, because of decision, that potential had gone undeveloped. It had gone unrealized. But you know, the Word of God has that same type of potential in it. And as a Christian, we don't want to have to live life at a level we don't have when that ability and that potential is there in the Word of God. Go over to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. We had one guy on that team. He scored 70-some points that game. No, I'm sorry. No. 90 points that game. David Tallman, bless his heart. He loved the Lord, and he loved to shoot the ball. How many of you know if you score 90 points in one game, you got to love to shoot the ball? So I just kept throwing it to him. You know, he was making them. You know, sometimes the things that you do in life, I'll never forget that playing that day. Praise the Lord. Acts 20, verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Notice here again, it speaks concerning the ability of the word of God, the potential to do what? To build us up and to give us an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. What's that mean? Taking part of what we have inherited as being joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We find that out through the Word of God and through faith in God's Word. See, again, that ability. Go over to James chapter 1 with me. James chapter 1. God's Word is able. James chapter 1, verse 21. I love this phrase, just the way it says in the King James. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. What does that mean? I have no idea, but I like saying it. The superfluity of naughtiness. Lay it aside, my children. Okay. Probably what he's really probably saying, look, humble yourself. Be humble. The next part says, and receive with meekness or with humility the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Now here he's writing to Christians who are what we would say are saved. But here he says the word of God is able to save your souls. Now we know this from the word that the Bible talks about. We are spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. Our soul is our mind, our will, our emotions. How many of you know it needs to be saved? Paul told us we have to renew our minds. Well, how do we do that? Through this this word that we become so one with, we are engrafted together with it. The word of God. And it is able to save your soul so that we begin to think like God. We begin to, our emotions line up with what God said. So when, you know, life happened, nowhere did it say that we are redeemed from life on this planet. As long as we're here, we're going to experience life on this planet. Okay? But how many of you found this out? It's not so much it's how you react to what happens that is going to determine the outcome. Yeah. And when I have the word of God and I'm able and I'm operating from a soul that's been affected by the word of God, my emotions don't run wild on me. My thought life doesn't run away from me. And you hear it over and over. You've heard Pastor Hagin say it. He grew up with this, with his father saying it. What does the word say about that? What are we going to do now? This is another opportunity to prove that the word of God works. Now, who's it work for? Whosoever will act upon it in faith, that word will work. Amen? Aren't you glad that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved? It works for whosoever. This word does the same thing. So let's go over to Ephesians. We'll finish up with this. So I'm not going to add any other scriptures tonight, Daniel. Thank you. But Ephesians chapter 6. Last Sunday night, it was over at this past Sunday, was at Oklahoma City at our church there, and talking about the sword of the Spirit. I thought maybe I might get there, but that the word, hallelujah, that works. Here, he talks about it here in these verses. Familiar to us, Ephesians 6, verse 10. Are you doing all right tonight? Praise the Lord. It said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Aren't you glad you don't have to work up might? It's his might. And our strength is in him. It's not my own strength. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, I'm just going to act like a wimp. Have you ever read what God told Jeremiah? He said, Jeremiah, look, I've given you a message. I'm going to tell you, here's the secret. Don't look at their faces, Jeremiah. All right? Don't be afraid of them. Don't even look at their faces. You just go preach what I told you to preach. Do what I told you, but don't look at their faces at all. Just you do what I told you to do. You know, sometimes we have to do that. I know when you're a youth pastor, sometimes half the battle is trying to come up with a good sermon title. Because if you don't have a good sermon title, the youth, they're not going to listen to you. You know, being a youth leader, I would never probably ever call myself a youth pastor. Didn't like teenagers. If you're going to pastor, you got to like people. And I didn't really like teenagers a whole lot. But I was their leader for 3 years there. Bless them. Praise the Lord. My mind, I'm just thinking about all how God, oh, God's so faithful. He's so merciful. Mercy, mercy. God's so merciful that I didn't kill any of them. That was what's merciful about it. And really, it was at the end of 3 years, I went in, I walked in the pastor's office, and I said, Pastor Marvin, you know, Brother Dick, Pastor X there. I walked in there and I said, Pastor, I said, you know, I think we probably ought to find a youth pastor. Because if we don't, I'm going to kill him. And I'm starting with your two sons. That's what I told you. I'm starting with your two sons. I'm going to kill them first. Because that's just what's going to happen. Because I'm at the end. I've been on grace fumes for a long time, Pastor. I mean, so Praise the Lord. What was I talking about when I went that down? Let's read this. What? 6:10. Be strong in the Lord. Let's just stay there. And the power of His might. You know, trying to be strong in anything else but Him, it's not going to work. I have to be in the power of His might. Well, how do I do it? Put on the whole armor of God. Now, here again, now notice this, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, taking you the whole armor of God. Notice here again, in 11 and 13 says whole armor. Now, we kind of divide it out sometimes just to help to kind of teach and understand it. But it's meant to work as a whole. All right? That you may be able, here again, notice the ability there, that potential there, to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Now, I want, as you look at this, notice here, as we go through this, every piece of the armor is related to God's word in some way. He said, your loins girt about with truth. Well, God's word is truth. John 17:17. All right. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. Romans 1 says, where is righteousness revealed? It's in that gospel message, from faith to faith. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So there, someone said, put your gospel boots on. That's the word of God. And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Where's faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So here's another time. And take the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. See, what makes us wise? It's God's word. Amen. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then he talks about praying always with all prayer. Well, how many of you know we've got to pray according to the word of God? But I want you to see here three times in this section, verse 11, verse 13, verse 16. It talks about being able to stand against, number one, the wiles of the devil. Number two, in the evil day. Number three, in verse 16, the fiery darts of the wicked. Now, those of you who've been around in class, you've heard Brother Doug talk about this, Doug Jones, that what are these things? They are thoughts, ideas, and suggestions that are contrary to the word of God. Thoughts, ideas, and suggestions. You're not going to make it this time. Oh, I know that, you know, you were sick and you prayed and you got healed, but it's not going to happen this time, you know, because you were a baby Christian. Now you're supposed to know better, you know, so you're not going to receive it this time. Or, you know, God helped you pay. You're not going to, you know, God's not going to, God helped you get that last job and then he's not going to help you. You're done now and it's not going to work. See, those are thoughts, ideas, and suggestions that are contrary to the word of God. And when we entertain those, we strip the word of God of its ability in our life. We don't take it away. The word's going to have the ability. But when I allow those thoughts and those ideas and those suggestions that are contrary to God's word, when I allow them and I put my faith in them and I start speaking those instead of saying what God's word says, then the ability that is in the word does not work on my behalf. Amen. Now, we could probably all raise both hands, both feet and say we've been there, right? And we've done it. We've allowed that. But I'm saying tonight, we don't have to. I want to encourage you tonight. We can take God's word. We can speak it out of our mouth. We can believe it in our heart. And it will do what it said it would do. Do you believe that tonight? It's absolutely true. God's word is able. It is able. And because God's word is able, that makes you able. That makes me able to do exactly what God said would happen in His word. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's all stand together. Father, we thank You tonight for Your holy written word. Holy Spirit, You are our teacher and our guide. We thank You for leading us and guiding us into all the truth. We thank You for it, Father. Father, I just pray that you have given us ears to hear and eyes to see and hearts to understand, that we might be converted and that we might hear Your word. Father, we praise You and we worship You tonight. We give You all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' mighty, mighty name. Hallelujah. 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 If you're here tonight and you need prayer for anything, Our prayer teams are coming down to the front. The ladies are to my right and your left. The men to my left and your right. Come pray with them. You know what they're going to, if they're going to pray with you concerning, they're going to pray the word of God in your life. Why? Because the word of God, when acted upon, will bring the desired result. It is able to meet whatever need you have. He sent his word, glory to God, to us. Jesus was the word made flesh, and he's given us his holy written word that is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Glory to God. Amen. Connection team, got our first time guests. If you'd find those folks that came the first time, let's give them a big hand clap. Those of you that are here for the first time. If you're looking for a church home, what do we say, church? Welcome home, welcome home, welcome home. Praise the Lord. It's great to have you with us. Come on back Sunday morning. Pastor Miss Hagen will be here. What do we got? What is this? This Sunday night, so Wednesday night. Praise the Lord. Hour of power. Glory to God. We know that God is going to be in everything, in all things that we do this week. Glory to God. All right? Well, shake hands with a few folks. Let them know you're glad they're here. Introduce yourself to somebody if you don't know them. And you can be dismissed. Praise the Lord. Come on over here.